just want to personally welcome Seth Felker from the Boardwalk Chapel. It was good that you could make it. May God bless you.
Thank you.
I do want to thank New Hope Church for having me. Thus far, I've not had many opportunities to exercise my spiritual gifts in full-length sermonic format, and so it is a cherished opportunity for me. As you know, I am coming from the Boardwalk Chapel, and it has been an amazing ministry this summer, an amazing time of growth for me. Thousands of people, literally, have heard the gospel for the first time this summer, and a minimum of 50 have made professions of faith. Praise the Lord. And all of the staff and the youth groups that have come up have been richly blessed with their time there. So I just wanted to give a brief word about that. This morning, I'm going to be opening to you Isaiah chapter 55. And it's, I think, providential in the order of worship today. We've had an extended confession of sin. And this message amounts to something of an extended assurance of salvation. All throughout the Bible, we have discussions of the gospel, what it is. But this is one of the few places in the scriptures that it itself is a gospel call. And so the Lord this morning, through Isaiah 55, is calling us all to come to him to receive forgiveness of sins and true life in his name. Allow me to invoke the Lord once more before I read the text. Heavenly Father, without you we can do nothing. Lord, without you, my efforts are vain. You have promised, even in this text, Lord, your word does not go out from you and return void. Lord, bless the reading of your scripture. Bless me, give me the words. Help us now to hear and believe and come to you with full faith and assurance. Thank you, Lord. Amen. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This is the call that everyone come to the Lord, come to receive blessing, forgiveness of sins. And at a basic level, it's a very understandable metaphor. Food and drink. All of us every day get hungry and we eat. And we get thirsty and we drink multiple times a day. And so there's a sort of basic appeal to this, an understandability. And we understand that it's a call to life. We eat because we need sustenance. And so that's something of what the Lord is calling today. But our lives are not simply about eating and drinking. Right? We all know the longings, the cravings, the hopes that we all have. Right? That's why some people have food addictions. Right? They eat and they eat. And it's not that they can't be full, literally speaking. But eating that food can never satisfy them because they're looking for something else in that food. And so the Lord asks, why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? The reality is that we all have many things, many, many things that we crave, many hopes that we have. Right? At times your body sends you signals, you need you just need some sustenance. You need a fat piece of steak. Right? And so if you associate that with that craving for steak with cotton candy, you're gonna eat and eat cotton candy, never satisfy it, and make yourself sick with the sugar. And it's the same with all the longings, all the cravings in our lives. Ultimately, we're all hungry for the Lord, for the peace that He gives, the life that He gives. Ultimately, all our hope can only be fulfilled in coming to Him. Last time I was recently reading the Sermon on the Mount, I had a realization. The part that says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" It actually begins with the word "therefore." Right? And so he's using this as an explanation, right? As a logical conclusion of something else. And that is that no one, this is the previous verse, says no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon, the sort of desires of life. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. So in other words, he's saying, being anxious about the cares of this world, about what you'll put on, what you'll eat, is slavery to those things. Right? And there are many, many desires that we all have. For financial security, for protection from COVID, for some kind of relational fulfillment. And on their own, none of these things are bad things. And they're not wrong necessarily to pursue and try to fulfill. The trouble is that we make them a sort of false gospel, right? When we think, if only I can achieve this, then I'll really be satisfied, then I'll really be happy. Right? If only I'm romantically fulfilled, then I'll be happy, then I'll be satisfied. If only I can reach this level of financial security, then I won't have to worry. But the reality is, when you reach that thing, you're only going to start longing for something else. Right? Because we hunger and we thirst for an eschatological peace. We hunger and thirst for the blessing of the Lord himself. Right? And so this morning, the Lord is asking you, each of you, and myself, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why are you seeking the things of this world? Seek the Lord, and he will satisfy you. Now, what is this gospel call? What is this satisfaction? Well, obviously, very, very clearly, it's a spiritual metaphor, right? We hunger and we thirst for something greater, for a truer life of communion with the Lord. Right? And it opens by saying, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. What does that mean? Now, the prophet is prophesying to a people who live in the Middle East, in a largely barren land, a desert, a wilderness. And so coming to the waters is to come to the place of life, the place where you don't have to worry about being thirsty, the place that you can drink and drink and have your fill and not worry about running out. Right? And we'll return to this idea of an oasis toward the end. And then the second part of this verse, it says, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now there's a little bit of a contradiction there, right? You can't buy something without money, right? If it doesn't cost anything, then it's free and it's not buying. You just get it, right? So the question is, how? How can you buy something with no money? It's if someone else buys it for you. Someone else steps in and pays it. I think you know where I'm going here. Mark 10:45 says that even the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Right, Jesus stepped in. Jesus paid the debt for true satisfaction, for the bread that we're all longing for, the water that we're all longing for. He gave his own body to make that happen. Right? Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Why are you seeking the things of this world? Christ is offering, by his sacrifice, a life, a hope, a peace, a joy that the things of this world cannot compare with. So it's a call to life. It's also a call to everyone, regardless of who they are, regardless of what is going on in their hearts and their lives, the sins that they're caught up in. He says, listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. It's a call to everyone. Not only that, in coming to the Lord, in being satisfied, in drinking deeply of the water that the Lord gives, in his covenantal love, he glorifies us. Right? And he makes an everlasting covenant, the sure love for David. Well, what does that mean? It's pointing, again, just like buying without money, it's pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Son of David, who not only brought glory to Israel as a nation, monetarily, he brings glory to the people of God, to change them, to redeem them out of sin, to give them joy and hope and peace. And it says that in that glorification, a nation that you do not know and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Now, let me remind you, in Isaiah's day, nations weren't just different political blocks, right? Outside of Israel, they were false religions, false gods. Each land had its own god. And so it's saying that, you know, the worshipers of Molech over the hill, the people in the East that they didn't know, that were bound up in vain philosophy, right? People lost in bankrupting, soul-drying sin that deserve all his judgment and wrath. They have the same offer. Come, everyone who thirsts, everyone who has this longing, who sees their need for Christ, come to the waters. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to him, that the Lord may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Right? Whether it's out there or in here with all of you, brothers and sisters, no matter what anxieties you're bogged down with in your life, whatever idol that your idol factory of a heart has come up with lately, seek the Lord. Call upon him. Forsake the wicked way. Forsake your unrighteous thoughts, and the Lord will have compassion, and he will abundantly pardon. Verses 8 and 9 are so beautiful. We so often, when people reference them, quote them, they use it as a way to justify ignorance of God. Well, His thoughts are higher, his ways are higher, so we can't necessarily understand him. And that's true, but God is actually saying the opposite here. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Right? He's saying, you who thinks you're too wicked, you're too unrighteous, you're too far gone, you're too enslaved to the mastery of the anxieties of this world, of life, too drawn in to whatever addiction that you're caught in, you don't understand how merciful I am. You don't understand how ready I am to forgive. How much I'll pardon you, how cleanly, how richly I'll lavish my love on you. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. If you spent all of your money, all of your spiritual energy seeking after idols, seeking after anxieties, binging Netflix, watching pornography, being addicted to drugs, whatever it is, there's mercy and grace for the most wretched, the most weak, the lowest, one who has nothing. Right? The call is everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Buy and eat. Now let's return to this idea of the oasis. Right, an oasis or waters in the midst of a wilderness, a dry land. What does that mean spiritually? Well, allow me to make a small digression to explain. On the Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16 specifies that amongst all the blood works going on, there are two goats in the center of it. One goat to be, well, both to be imputed with the sin of the people. One to be slaughtered, and one to be sent into the wilderness outside the camp. And we're all very comfortable and familiar with the idea of the goat being slain for the forgiveness of sins. We know this is the Lord Jesus. Right? Isaiah 55 or 53 says, it pleased God to crush him and to put him to grief to make atonement for sin. What we're a little less familiar with is the scapegoat, the goat sent out into the wilderness. Well, Christ, in his sacrifice, was sent outside Jerusalem into the wilderness to the hill of the skull, Golgotha. He was the scapegoat sent out of the city. Right? And he was pierced for our transgressions. The iniquity of us all was laid on him. And from his side flowed mingled down two streams, one of blood to pay the debt of sin, and one of water to wash us clean, to become a river of life, welling up in our souls to quench our spiritual thirst. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. Verse 53. So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. And in John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come to the Lord Jesus. Come to the death of God. Feast on him by faith. Receive his blood. Receive the water of life that from his side flowed into the world. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Ezekiel 47, and it's a vision of the temple. And from the temple is gushing forth a river. And it goes into the world, and the world is dry. It's dead and it's polluted. And everywhere the river goes, the banks flourish with life and are cleansed. Right? And that's the image of Christ. Right? When Jesus was crucified, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, signifying the opening up that God and the world to meet. Right? And his body being broken, his side being pierced, released to the Holy Spirit, a river of life, that everywhere it goes, that everyone who comes to him, who comes to the waters to drink, would be made pure, would be refreshed, would receive true life. And that's the call to everyone here this morning. No matter who you are, what sins that you're caught in, what idols that are deadening your heart. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why spend your money for that which isn't bread, your labor for what doesn't satisfy? Throw down your anxieties, throw down your idols, forget worrying about COVID, forget worrying about your finances and your relationships. Trust in the Lord. Come to the sacrifice of Christ. Delight yourself in the work of God. And he gives this promise, two promises. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Right? How do you come to the Lord? Incline your ear. Hear that your soul may live. Read his scriptures. They do not return to him void. But like the rain that comes from heaven, it nourishes the earth, waters the earth, and brings forth its fruit. If you come to him by faith, through his word, in prayer, you will receive life. You will have what this world cannot understand. So one more time, I just want to exhort you. No matter what you're struggling with, if you think that you've gone too far, that you're dirtied, that the Lord wouldn't receive you with joy, he says, you don't know my mercy. You don't know how good I am, how forgiving I am, how ready I am to receive you. So everyone come. Drink, eat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.